You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, podcast land. Welcome to the most spacious, righteous, and most splendid podcast in the world today, The Real Short Box. My name is Supreme Chancellor Dr. Kevin, and to my left is the Bodacious.
This is Donald speaking here, wearing my mask. I decided to put 7 of them on just to be safe.
Okay.
7 masks.
That's disturbing. And then in front of me, sir, what is your name?
This is Darren, ignoring social distancing policies in this private domicile.
It's very hot, guys. I feel like I'm going to pass out.
This is a very dangerous thing to say. You're not social distancing, sir. Matter of fact, you're approximately 4.5 feet away from me, sir. You need to go another 1.5 feet away from me.
But you have to understand, this is out of love for the audience, okay? This is how we make these sacrifices, to give you content. They're not going to catch a virus by listening to us.
So who replaces the 3 of us if, God forbid, we're not available?
It's okay. I've got my mask. I'll be fine. You guys, you'll just take each other out. And I can keep podcasting. I'll just prop you up and use you as puppets.
See, but the reason I took my mask off is because every time I put one on, I start to sound like this.
It's just Bane.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I see. Bane. So you're doing this for the people.
Oh, it's so hot. It's so hot. I took the masks off, guys. Forget it.
The paper.
It's too hot.
By the way, Kevin, do you have a history in radio?
Do I have a history
in radio? Yes, a working history.
Not really.
Because it was a pretty low energy introduction. I'm just saying, it was a good introduction.
Uh-huh.
It was very solid and by the books, but usually we're the type of people that need sound effects and excitement because it's comics.
He's doing that late night talk show host thing. Or like Delilah. You know that lady? Delilah. Now we're going to take this. Jamie wants to just tell Jessica that he loves her very much, and what he did 2 nights ago was a mistake.
How dare you?
He didn't mean to put his hands
How
there.
How dare you?
You know, but you got to put Karen Sharp in that conversation on Coast 103. She does that very well. And, you know, Kevin, I mean, you know, you kind of remind me, I guess, of Tim Meadows as the ladies' man on Saturday
Night
Live.
There we go. Yeah.
Do
you have a Cavassier?
Yeah, was that the fellow who did that movie in the 90s? What was it called?
Tim Meadows. He's on SNL for 10 years.
Yeah. He's on forever.
I could have sworn he did like a movie.
He's the principal on the Goldbergs now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
He's been in a ton of stuff. He was in a bunch of some Adam Sandler stuff, too, I think.
Yeah. And
a bunch of other Saturday Night Live stuff.
By the way, would Rob Schneider have a career were it not for Adam Sandler?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't know necessarily that he would. He may have gotten... No, that was through Adam Sandler's production company.
True.
But there might have been, he may have gotten his own merit for Men Behaving Badly.
Okay.
The short-lived 2-season series, I believe, on NBC that came out, like, back in, what, the 90s? Late 90s?
That makes sense.
Somewhere around there? Yeah. So, and I think he got in on Judge Dredd and what was the other one?
I am the law.
It was Demolition Man, too.
I am the law.
So he was in 2 Stallone.
Was he
in
Demolition Man?
Pretty much back to back, yeah.
He talked about the seashells. He was the cop. Yeah.
Which is the post that everybody's posting now because there's a shortage on toilet paper.
You know what's kind of funny? Like, I don't like Rob Schneider as an actor. I don't think he's very good. But as a person, he's really funny. His troll game is top of the line.
I love Rob Schneider acting and everything. I think he's... I just enjoy him. He was one of my favorites on Saturday Night Live, to be honest.
He was really, okay, he was really great in Necessary Roughness.
Boy, I don't remember that film well. Sinbad was in it.
He was the announcer. He was tremendous.
Scott Bakula was in that, too?
Scott Bakula was in it. Yeah. Directed by David Ward.
Robert Loggia.
Loggia.
Loggia. Loggia.
Loggia. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
I want you to tear their fucking heads off and shit down their necks. Let us pray.
That movie's almost 30 years old.
So
I remember when it came out, and I begged my parents to rent it because I thought it'd be an amazing comedy. And it really wasn't all that funny.
I disagree.
It might, I was a kid when I was watching it, and I was like, I don't understand. This isn't funny. So I haven't seen it since. So maybe I would enjoy it more now.
Oh, yeah. When he says to the quarterback, show us the arm, Bopke. And he starts flexing.
Yes.
That's funny. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Make a gun movie. Those are funny.
Zucker.
Oh, yeah.
Zucker. Oh, man. Zucker's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Zuckers.
All right. So, Master of Ceremonies, Kevin.
Wait, no. What are we talking about today?
Yeah. Apparently, we are talking about the best hits of the Real Short Box.
Oh, so we're doing a classic bottle episode, basically, where we just sit in a room and we talk about stuff instead of like there being a bunch of action and other scenes and things.
It's mostly just patting ourselves on the back repeatedly.
Reminiscing. So, so they can take past clips of hilarious moments and use that. But we're not going to actually play those past clips.
Not yet.
We're going to just talk about those past things.
And then later on, perhaps.
Like the time in what one? It was the first podcast. It was the History of Eclipse where you got so nervous. Apparently, and Darren, I don't know if you knew this because you weren't a member at the time. You weren't on the team, so to speak.
Yeah.
But Jarrett would remember. So Jarrett's always welcome to chime in on this once he listens to this pod.
You'll come.
But Kevin has a thing when he gets too nervous, he takes his pants off.
I don't know about that.
So we're halfway through the podcast.
I don't know about that.
And we're talking about this is false. Steve Gerber's Destroyer Duck, I believe, at that point. And Kevin can't quite figure out what date it was. And you know Kevin with dates. So he just starts to, he gets up and he starts to unzip and unbutton and take his pants down. He doesn't take them all the way off. He just takes them down to his ankles and continues with the conversation. And Jarrett and I just quietly kind of out of each corner of our eye look over at the other like, are we supposed to like talk about this? So we just played it through.
You have quite a fantasy.
Nobody that listened to that podcast, that first podcast that we did, knew that that happened, but that was a thing.
That's quite a fantasy that you and Jarrett must have had of me taking off my pants during the podcast.
Kevin, you wonder
what kind of mind
you wonder why we bring up all this lowbrow stuff.
I wonder why.
Analytics. All in the analytics.
Analytics.
Give the people what they want.
Everybody loves when you have your pants down.
Well, there's a lot of things they want to see, but they can't see it in an audio podcast.
Wow.
All right, so if I might take over here for a second, I'm curious. We'll go to Donald first here, since he's already warmed up talking about Kevin taking his pants off. Is there a specific podcast that you I don't want to say are particularly proud of, because I think that's we're proud of everything we do here. But is there one that you just like to bring up that just is currently at the front of your head that you wanted to discuss?
There's a couple, but the first one I can think of
his name is Donald.
Yeah.
Is your name Donald, really?
Unless you changed ethnicities.
Yeah. I do have a bagpipe.
Names.
I do have a bagpipe.
Oh, that's just wrong. It's better than saying scotch, I guess. So the bagpipes, I'll allow it. Yeah, I'll allow it.
I was watching the Roddy Ruddy Piper earlier, so I couldn't help it.
Oh, Roderick, huh?
Yeah, Roderick.
Yeah.
Roderick too.
He's as Scottish as they come, that Canadian.
Yes, that's right.
So to the people who ask questions on this, Donald, yes. what is one podcast that's in the forefront of your mind right now?
Oh, the one that pops up that I'm particularly proud of is the one that that when Kevin and I traveled to WonderCon a few years back and we interviewed the gang from Malibu Comics, the creators. Oh. And it was the two-parter, the History of Malibu Part 1 and Part 2 of basically what happened. Now, we had done a podcast a year or so prior to that called The History of Malibu Comics. And that one's always done very well for us. A lot of people listen to it. We get a lot of comments on that one. But because of that one, we then had Dave Olbrecht reach out to us and say that, hey, you know, I hear you guys are looking for me. I'm going to be at WonderCon if you want to do an interview. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, sure. We're going to WonderCon. So we went there to WonderCon. We interviewed him. We interviewed... Chris Ulm, correct? We interviewed those two cats, and I brought my ghoul figure that came from the Ultra Force comic and television cartoon series. And we just had a really nice discussion, a real nice kind of a fireside chat where we could talk to them, and they were real open about everything. It's like the first time, I don't know if you remember that documentary, Awaking Sleeping Beauty, I believe it was what it was called. It was a Disney documentary, and it's basically Disney airs their garbage, their trash, you know, like their dirty laundry, so to speak. Disney's airing their dirty laundry.
Under Disney censors,
right.
Of course.
So it was kind of like that. It was like Malibu airing their dirty laundry. So they were talking about the things that went wrong And you don't get that a lot from a lot of other people. So it was refreshing and very nice. And that's why I remember that one the most. I think that's on my mind the most. It's just the fact that it still does very well for us. Still people comment and listen and watch and stuff. But it's also very, it was very fun to do. And it was just a very nice interview. I really liked it.
I helped you out because I was ribbing him about you not getting your mail-in comic or whatever it was, the mail-in prize.
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny.
Yeah, because that was another thing was back in the day, Malibu, they had a line, Brevara Comics line. And if you bought each issue, you tore the stamp out. And if you put it on this poster board that they gave you at the beginning of the line sales, mm-hmm. if you collected all the stamps, you would get all these amazing gold autographed limited edition comic books and stuff that you couldn't get unless you bought every single title, every single issue. I was collecting it, and I was 3/4 of the way done when they canceled the entire line, when the whole thing went under. So I never got all that exclusive stuff. I couldn't even send in for like some of the levels I did fill up because I was trying to get the grand prize. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Kevin brought it up, and he was like, hey, Donald never got his,
it's in a warehouse somewhere, right?
Gold autograph things or whatever.
Yeah,
so
it's in a warehouse somewhere, right?
In that podcast, then they gave me some stuff that they had on them. They were just like, whoa, what do we got? Here's a wrapper that we signed. Here's a Tootsie Pop that actually went inside that wrapper.
And a check for $10,000 for 1991.
Oh, I wish.
Kevin, why don't you name a podcast that's memorable at the current moment?
At the current moment? Well, let's see. I definitely enjoy the pod. Well, we did a whole bunch of them. All the, oh my goodness, we call them the Versus Pod.
Mm-hmm.
We had what's the proper name for it?
Superhero Smackdown.
Thank you, Superhero Smackdown. And the one I had the most fun that I really spun your head with, and Jared as well, was Legion versus Resurrection Man. You guys kept going back and forth on who you thought would win. You're like, yeah, you know what? I think this person win. And you know what? No, I think this person win. And I would give an argument. It's like, gosh, Kevin, you got us trumped on this one. This is a good one because you're going back and forth between those two particular characters.
A little tidbit about these guys. Legion... is basically, he has dissociative identity disorder, right?
That's
so
right.
He has all these multiple personalities that are living with inside of him. Each has their own unique kind of power and characteristics. Whereas Resurrection Man, he, every time he dies, he's immortal, but he can die, but he comes back to life. So when he comes back to life, he comes back with the power to defend himself from whatever killed him. So you have a guy that can come up with a personality with a power that can fight a guy that can never die, that just continues to change his power. And it was just one of those things where we just decided, you know what, it's done. Like, we can't.
You said something to the effect of, you know what, this guy is so crazy, you think Resurrection Man Mitch would just simply walk away. You know what, this guy is so crazy, I don't want to mess with this guy anymore. I'm just going to leave him be.
Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, we just had
you said that.
Yeah, where Mitch was just like, I give up. Like, you know, Legion's insane. I'm not going to win this. I've got better things to do, I think is what it was.
Right.
It was what we finally decided upon. But otherwise, it was a draw.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it'd be a fun issue to read if someone actually wrote it.
Yeah. And that brings up the Hitman comic series where he found out that he needed Mitch Shelley to have a particular power to help him out. So he just kept shooting him in the head. And every time he came back, he's like, you got that power yet? And shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head.
Sounds almost like that Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt movie. Was it Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, which they changed to Live, Die, Repeat because I guess that sounded better.
Does Shelley feel pain when he's getting killed like that off everyone?
Oh, yeah. It's painful every time he dies.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, one pod I'm going to bring up, and obviously I like all of them. I can't say that I like one more than the other, to be perfectly honest with you, but one that just immediately popped into my head is the interview with John Bogdanov. It's very recent, and the reason I bring this up is I think we're the real short box where we really separate ourselves or try to separate ourselves, and I don't mean this to sound like a self-righteous pat on the back. I want people who have podcasts like this to be heard. I want other competing views out there. But what I think that interview really represents us well is that we don't make the interview about us. So John Bogdanov is a very well-known comic artist.
Massage those shoulders.
We very easily could have used his name to exploit and market us ourselves ridiculously.
But we did not.
But it's not even the resistance of that we didn't do it. I'm more impressed with the fact that we let him talk, and he talked a lot.
Yes, he did.
We let him explain things. We didn't make it about, oh, well, you know, your thing here, we really loved it. And I'll tell you what I would have done if I was writing this thing. We didn't do that. We let the man talk because at the end of the day, at an interview like that, you're really not there to hear us. You're there to hear our questions, which we hope are very intelligent, very thought-provoking, and get certain answers. But I like how we focus on the specific subject in our interviews. And I'm really impressed with this podcast as a whole, the way that we interview comic artists. It's very unique. And I don't want to trash the other people that interview comic artists, but they don't do it quite the same way we do. And I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice to be able to understand that you can take a step back from the pod and let people breathe and have their conversations and stuff and not try to dictate what it's going to be exactly. And then there's a fine line, obviously. If we got somebody on, that would ramble, and I don't know who that would be, but if we got somebody on that would ramble and just wouldn't stop, eventually we would have to, be like, well, we got to stop now, which... I guess in anything, it's going to happen eventually, or it will have happened eventually. But
no, it's part of the interview. And, some people, very few people are resistant to us moving to the next thing. There have been some interviews where people have insisted upon carrying on about things. But we just try to use our best judgment in those situations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, I'm just a quick interruption here. I just want to mention We Can Be Heroes, the best comic shop in the valley, possibly the world. We Can Be Heroes is in Chatsworth, California. Come on down for 20% off on a pull list, vintage toys, new toys, collectibles, vintage comics, gaming, and more. Guys, they really got it going over there. It's a great spot just to hang out. It's like the Cheers of comic shops. We Can Be Heroes, Chatsworth, California.
An interesting thing that I wanted to bring up here, because I think everyone can throw their hat into the ring on this. We do a lot of top 10 countdowns.
Oh, yes.
And top 10 countdowns, to me, I just think, even though it is clearly very typical, it's clearly very normal that people do these things, I always find this to be very effective because, it's weird. Like, I don't even pay attention to number one as I do 2 through 10, because I'm like, who's not going to make number one? Like, these kind of fascinating things. Kevin, are there some top 10 countdowns that are readily available in your head that you remember?
Well, my personal top 10, well, actually, it's really more than top 10. That whole MCU countdown, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I remember before we started the podcast, where all three of us were kind of duking it out on what was going to be number, 10 or number four. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we kind of agreed to the top two. I think we were pretty much at a consensus there. We all felt that Captain America Winter Soldier definitely deserved to be one or two. And I think we put it at number one because that movie is as close as it gets to cinematic comic book perfection. Can I get an amen, Brother Donald?
Amen.
See, that, to me, is one of my favorite movies. And Donald said it best years ago. He's like, that has great rewatchability. You can, pop that in and have so much fun watching it. I mean, from the dialogue to the plot to the action, from beginning to end, is just amazing.
Well, amazing. What's interesting, too, about a countdown like that is, I mean, we did a lot of research on this. Like, this wasn't just us, having a few beers and putting things together. Like, I mean, we really thought hard about this stuff. And we certainly did not agree with everybody's suggestion
of
where the stuff lay. And, it's even more interesting than that. And I don't mean this to be funny, but that MCU countdown is really holding up because movies are not being released. So I don't know if there's any MCU movies we did not include in that countdown that have currently not been released.
I don't think so.
So we should push that extra hard.
We will.
It's funny because we did a podcast on, what was it, The New Mutants, and for some reason we had to hold off on pushing it out there.
Because I keep pushing the date.
Well, and when we put the podcast out, you had noticed and you were like, Donald, you said that you don't know if that New Mutants is ever getting out, and now it's got a release date of, what was it, April, right?
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out.
And then guess what happens?
And then the COVID virus happens, and then it did get pushed. So now it's still relevant again. Whereas, we went from being relevant to irrelevant to relevant to irrelevant, irrelevant now to relevant again. It's insane this how that be, this poor
be,
movie.
It's probably a documentary on the New Mutants when it's all said and done. Was like it took 8 years for it to finally be released because it's something that would always happen. You know.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a hater, but from all but usually when you push something off this far, it sounds like something that may want to hit the streaming sites at this point.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think this. Way.
Yeah.
So, Donald, I'm going to come to you with this. So we have obviously a variety of history pods. I know you mentioned History of Malibu Comics. You know, that was more of an interview setting, which is great. Talk about one of the history pods that you're currently thinking about at the moment.
Well, I stumbled upon, and I was just talking to you guys earlier about it, I stumbled upon, like, all of our history pods. We do as much as we can to do research on these companies that we cover. When we're talking about history pods, we're usually talking about the history of, like, let's say, Image Comics, Valiant Comics. We did, an 8-part Marvel?
Yes, right.
History of Marvel Comics, which took a lot of time. And I think at one point, one of you guys ended up, like, staying over or something, and we ended up having, like, a camp out, basically, doing research to try to figure out, you know, certain things and where the gaps were and stuff, and then tried to just find and call and talk to other people to see, you know, where we could figure out and put those pieces together. But I would say probably...
You had a great idea, by the way. At first, I somewhat disagreed with you. I was like, man, what are you talking about? Why should we do add too much to it? Like, we made a separate pod on Atlas. And at first, I didn't think there was much there. And then I said, okay, let me see what this guy's talking about. So I started doing my own research. I'm like, you know what? He's right. You know, there is a lot here. And that was a fun pod to have done because there was so much that I learned.
Right.
And that we all learned about Atlas.
I think bypassing something like that would have been detrimental.
And it would have been disservice
right.
to history.
And a disservice to Marvel, in fact, because there is, while it was not a very popular era, there is still a lot of sentimentality towards that era because it was the era of throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
And it was crucial to setting up the classic 60s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they saw, well, this doesn't work, let's do this, and this doesn't work, let's do this, and they started veering more towards superheroes again. And then when the 60s hit, boom.
And what was great is it helped set it up. So you have like Tales to Astonish or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Strange Tales. Well, during that era of the 50s, you had a lot of sci-fi and monsters was the thing at the movies whatnot. So it did it set up nicely for the origins of these future 1960s Marvel heroes.
Start slipping that stuff in.
Yep. Scientific experiments, monsters, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde, you know, persona of, you know, Bruce Banner, Incredible Hulk, something like that.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, the seeds were planted back during the Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if I can't stress enough on these history pods, the scholarship that the three of us put into these things is very sophisticated. We are not, you know, plagiarizing people. We're not just going being like, hey, what did this guy on this other, you know, random podcast say? Let's steal from them. Like, we're really putting serious
scholarship
into this.
We have a time machine. I don't know if we've mentioned this, and I think this might be the first appearance of that mention. But we do, here at The Real Short Box, we have a time machine. So instead of, you know, looking into other people's articles and stuff, we travel back in time and we witness these things actually taking place. It's just crazy.
So we actually saw what happened in the Marvel offices between Steve Ditko and Stan Lee getting into a fight.
Did you notice, by the way, Kevin, that some things may have changed for you?
What?
Because I paid a visit to your mom. Like,
whoa.
Long time ago.
I doubt that.
Whoa.
About 42 years almost ago,
I traveled back. I doubt that. You wouldn't even know where I lived.
I was very convincing, let me just say.
I doubt you even know where I lived.
Before he says it, Kevin, 1 in 18 million chance.
Actually, I say more than that.
Yeah, well, no, because it did happen 4 years ago. I read this in an article.
Hmm.
It did happen. They think they said 1 in 18. But who knows?
As far as like time travel or
ultimate? No. As far as the chances of him and and you coming out.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah. That is a case, though. Yeah, that can actually happen where a white man can have relations with another white woman, I believe.
Yes.
And they could make a child that is dark-skinned.
It looks like
a black man.
I did actually read about that. There was like a case that was in South Africa. Or something.
1 in 18 million.
Like shocked them.
That's on Shameless, on the TV series, where they talk about that.
That
yeah,
happened?
Yeah. Liam, who's, I think, is it Liam? I think it's Liam. No, maybe it's not. I can't remember. It's the littlest one. He's, you know, obviously black. And they did a DNA test, and it's their kid from, you know, from a white woman and a white male. And it's like, well, that is my child. You know, I told you guys, you know, nobody believed me. So it's kind of
sure.
a funny
it's,
thing.
It's a fluke of evolution. Not, you know, the same as when, you know, Steve Nash, you know, the kid came out and looked at different. Anyway.
Right. So time travel aside, I think probably the one, the history thing to get back to that would be the history of EC Comics. I love that. They did, and I know I probably mentioned this in that podcast, but they did a lovely, lovely documentary on the first collected volume of Tales from the Crypt, mm-hmm. where they talk about Bill Gaines and Dr. Wortham and his book Seduction of the Innocent.
That footage was great. They showed.
Which I'm actually, I am going to be owning Seduction of the Innocent.
You're
going to
be procuring a copy.
I've been making payments.
Is this a first print?
On a copy.
It's a first print.
Yes.
They're expensive.
It is.
I tried to buy one in San Diego, and I thought twice about it. I was like, ooh, man, maybe next time.
It's expensive.
It's expensive.
Sorry, Donald dropped his dick on the ground.
Hence payments. But I'm just saying, this is an important thing. It's a piece of history. So Wortham's book basically caused all these book burnings and comic books and stuff, and it caused the horror genre as a whole in comic books to just basically vanish for what, almost 20 years?
And the creation of the comic books.
Of the Comic Book Authority Code, and the Mad Magazine being so popular was because they put all their steam behind that. EC did. Because
right.
That's the only thing they had.
It wasn't until about the early 70s when you started when you were allowed to bring back the monsters.
Yep. And they were only allowed to bring back ones that were related to Universal stuff, vampires and Frankenstein, Wolfmans and stuff like that,
and then derivatives from that, like Blade. Oh.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
So we're getting Morbius. Towards the end here with some topics we can share. One I would like to share, I think, is it's a podcast that we don't talk about enough. That I think was very well done and really helpful. And that, of course, would be reactions to 2019 San Diego Comic Con with our friend Pete.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
I really found that podcast to be not only like entertaining and fun, but it was very informative.
It was.
Because I think a lot of people do not go to Comic-Con, A, because obviously you've got ticket sales. It's a finite number of people you can fit in there. But I think there is a legitimate fear people have of going to Comic-Con, and they do not really know how to navigate their way through things. And of course, when Donald was going well into the idea of how they were treating, for lack of a better term, the handicapped, and the inconveniences that they had to go through. I think that's important information for somebody who is handicapped and wants to go there to be prepared for certain things. Mm-hmm. That was really helpful. And I don't think, you know, we don't cover a lot of podcasts where we'll go into
something like that.
Information that's important to you to, you know, help enjoy your experience. And obviously Comic-Con is a massive financial investment. We all know this. It's also a time investment. I mean, you have to wait in line judiciously.
And you're being herded like cattle.
Sometimes it's not worth it. Like, remember, it wasn't worth it for me to get that Lego Star Wars thing. I don't care that much about Legos. I'm sorry, guys. I like some, don't get me wrong, but they're expensive. And, you know, you got to pay a lot to put it together. I'm like, just put it together for me, please. and then, you know, Star Wars, I'm more of a Star Trek guy. I always have been.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy Star Wars. But to me, it was just not, I wasn't going to wait in line for 12 hours.
Invest your time,
to get that thing and pay $40 or whatever for it. So I was like, Kevin, do you want this? And Kevin was like, yes. And I was like, okay. So here.
The news is, it worked out for me. It didn't take me that long to get it.
Yeah, so you got lucky. It didn't take you long that long a time. I didn't want it anyway, so it worked out for you. You were able to get that and stuff. So that's a nice thing. So, you know, just keep in mind that you can always help other people out with information. And that's important to know.
One thing that is fun about San Diego Comic Con, I forgot to mention this like last year, although I wasn't at that particular one, was that one many years earlier, is the fun secret stuff you discover.
Hmm. Like the lemonade room for professionals.
Yeah. You discover these little places. Or I remember years ago when I met Henry Cavill and Stephen Dorff, all those guys for that movie.
Yeah, if you catch them in the bathroom like you did. I told you to stop doing that.
No, it wasn't that. One of the booths was having a secret raffle.
Oh, okay.
I won the raffle, and I was like one of like 50 people that that got to have my poster signed. It's for that movie, The Immortals.
Oh, yeah.
All those guys signed the poster.
Great cast. Yeah, maybe didn't cast. Do well at all, but great cast.
But great cast. I still have that poster to this day. It's signed by, it was right before he even shot the movie, Man of Steel.
You know the hell of that, though, is if you're not prepared, let's say you got that poster, you need to immediately get up, and this is another bit of information everybody needs to know. Just buy a poster tube holder with a shoulder strap.
Yes.
Immediately. Yes. As soon as you get on the convention floor. Because odds are you're going to get handed to you posters.
Yeah.
They're easy to print off, easy for them to pack. They, you know, they unroll them. They hand them out like it's candy at the Fox booth and things like that. You know, and it could be like something you like Bob's Burgers or, you know, Simpsons or something like that. They'll hand them out like candy. And oftentimes, like Kevin got lucky and he got an autographed one. What did he have to do? He, like, scramble and go, shoot, I don't have a poster holder.
Protected.
There's, like, millions of people, or at least hundreds of thousands of people walking around. That's, you're literally shoulder to shoulder with people. You don't have room. If someone stops in front of you, someone might not stop behind you when you stop. So you're going to get squashed, your poster's going to get ruined, and you're not going to be happy. So make sure you have a poster holder with you at all times when you're at San Diego Comic-Con, because you never know.
Also, one of my favorite posters that got signed was Guillermo del Toro and Jock. Pan's Labyrinth poster.
Pan's Labyrinth poster,
and,
yeah.
And if by any chance you were at San Diego Comic-Con and you received the limited edition Target dog, just know that Pete, who was on our podcast, family, he was trying to attempt to get one for a family member. Please feel free to reach out to us in case you want to either send it over or maybe perhaps make a bit of a financial deal, because it was something important to him and it's something that stuck with me. Some of this information I'm doing off the top of my head, which if I can do that, that means I was really remembering these specific details. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kevin, we're getting close to the end here. Where can they find us?
They can find us in various locations on the interwebs, YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, Spreaker,
Spotify, yeah, Blueberry, SoundCloud's
a new one.
It's ridiculous. You have no excuse to not subscribe and enjoy the audio ecstasy of our voices.
Kevin, I don't like to use that they have no excuse. They should feel so privileged to be listening to content of this quality.
Yes, yeah. That is true.
You know, I just want people to listen and have a good time. That's my key thing. They can think whatever they want, say whatever they want behind closed doors. If you want to post a comment or something, you can always do that on our YouTube page. You can do that on our Instagram page. Also, we have a Facebook fan page that you can do that on as well.
And Darren's personal Facebook page, you can leave messages there.
We're not afraid of criticism either. You know, sure, Darren, and we're not going to bark back at you either, unless you're a moron, you know, yes, we will define what that
and
is.
And please, please, whoever keeps sending Kevin pictures of their genitals, keep it up.
Ha! Wow. With that being said.
Wow.
My name is Darren.
And I'm Dr. Supreme Chancellor Kevin.
He's a very disturbed Dr. Supreme Chancellor Kevin. And I am Captain Donald.
Mm-hmm.
And you are listening to The Real Short Box. And someday, when we're finally out and about, maybe we'll see you.
In a safe place. Be careful out there, brothers and sisters. Because we will one day once again see you at the
comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.